The BS Report is presented by Subway. Football season is over. Footlong season is just beginning. For a limited time, get any piled high regular footlong for just $5. Any footlong, just $5. Hurry in, Subway. Eat fresh. Eat fresh.
Hello, BS Report podcasters. This is Bill's producer, Joe Mead. This podcast was actually recorded on Wednesday. Bill talks with Jacko a lot about the Yankees and A-Rod and such, and news broke since the recording. Right now on ESPN.com, you can find the news story. Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez will have surgery to remove a cyst from his right hip and will be out for 10 weeks. This is according to Rodriguez's brother. He tells this to ESPNDeportes.com. So keep this in mind. We recorded this on Wednesday before this news broke. Enjoy the BS Report.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. We went for a fourth one this week. Just kind of feeling it. Had to get a spring training preview from my buddy Jacko about the Yankees. A lot of stuff happening with the Yanks. Now A-Rod has a bad hip. Had to call him at work and figure out how Jacko's feeling. So he's going first. And then, right around the 25-minute mark, we're going to call my buddy House. He's very, very, very upset about the Redskins and Daniel Snyder, and has a rant about the Redskins that we're probably going to have to bleep about 1,000 times. He is beside himself. So we're going to give him the floor for about 15 minutes. But first, let's call Jacko at work. He does not know we're calling.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Oh, Johnny.
Kind of a subdued one this week as opposed to last week.
I feel bad for you. You didn't get Manny Ramirez. I know you had your heart set for him.
I am out on the ledge right now. You have to talk me back in.
How do you handle this baseball season now?
It's tough. I was really hoping to be rooting for Manny and having the greatest 3-4-5 in the batting lineup in the history of baseball, but I'll have to just, you know, make do with Teixeira and A-Rod and the rest, so it's all right. So I'll get through it. How do you feel about the fact that he sabotaged your team or didn't, depending on your position, and caused all that problem for basically $5 million?
I'm just glad we're not paying him $30 million a year to have a bum hip. No, to have a bum hip like A-Rod. Did you hear about A-Rod's hip?
He's not a hip. He's got a cyst. It's like a cyst, like a mole on his leg.
I thought it was his hip. I thought he had a sore hip.
Your little hip is part of your leg. Same thing. It's a cyst. You're gonna get rid of that.
I think it's. I'm gonna Google A-Rod and hip. News results for A-Rod hip.
Yeah, but
A-Rod's hip trouble. A-Rod will visit a hip specialist after experiencing tightness and stiffening in the joint.
I thought it was a problem with a cyst or something.
Oh, I think you're in denial.
That could be. I've been in a lot of denial today about Manny, about A-Rod. It's a lot of problems.
Yahoo Sports, March 3rd. Yankees manager Joe Girardi said the team is being cautious with Alex Rodriguez's ailing right hip.
Yeah, but I thought it was just like a cyst, like a bone cyst that could be removed and then it's no problem.
Just out of curiosity. Hold on. Just out of curiosity, I'm going to Google Albert Bell hip.
Why don't you Google Mike Lowell hip while you're at it?
First story. Albert Bell's career reportedly is over after doctors tell Baltimore Orioles player that his arthritic right hip is not improving. Retired at age 34 as a result of degenerative osteoarthritis in his hip.
Let's not get carried away.
He homered in his final at-bat, though.
It's good to know.
Hip replacement surgery. What happened, Albert Bell? Wow, a lot of results for Albert Bell and hip.
What about Mike Lowell and hip? Are there any results for that?
Oh, we're not paying Mike Lowell $35 million a year until 2045.
He's a key cog in your machine, though.
What is a cyst? I thought only females could get cysts.
No, a cyst is just like a little tumor almost. Not like a tumor, like cancer, but, you know, it's like a fatty mass or whatever. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV, but I just think it's like, you know, they can remove it, freeze it off or laser it off, and he'll be fine.
I knew all that. I just wanted you to talk about CIS for about 20
repetition.
Minutes.
I know. Yeah. My very slim knowledge of medicine, I'm now showing how ignorant I am about that. But
Let me ask you, it's only March 3rd.
I assume that it was where he was injecting the steroids, and it developed into some sort of a, you know, he got like a zit there, basically. So
I mean, listen, I don't want to accuse the guy, but that was my first thought.
I mean, well, we don't have to accuse him anymore of steroids since he's admitted it. So
yeah,
it could be the injection site. You got to move the injection site around.
I mean, I know that you inject steroids in either your butt or your hip. Those are really the two options.
Right. So that could have caused some problems right there. Yeah. Now all good, taken care of. Sadly, he won't be able to play for the Dominican team in the World Baseball Classic, which I know everyone is waiting with bated breath for. So,
yeah, tickets have really dropped now that A-Rod's not going to be there.
Right.
Well, we're only 3 months into 2009, and opening day still isn't for about 4.5 weeks away. Is this the worst baseball season you've ever had?
The worst baseball season?
Yeah. 2009, I think, is going to be your nadir.
You think so?
As a fan. I do. I think you're off to a bad start. I'm not going to lie.
Because of the cyst?
Well, you know that.
What about Qingming Wang pitching two scoreless innings yesterday for the first time in like a year or whatever since he shattered his leg running around third base?
The steroid scandal with A-Rod, his teammates sadly sitting in the front row listening to his press conference.
Steroid support, circling the wagons.
The CC Sabathia, it being revealed that he's an Oakland Raiders season ticket holder and goes to tailgates at 7 in the morning.
I like him.
$180 million.
I'm excited for CC. He talked about how the team is, everybody's funny. Apparently, like, Nick Swisher is, like, clubhouse comedian. He talked about how he's a really good guy, really funny, a lot of personality. It's the Yankees need. They've been too corporate and robot-like. So they need, you know, Joe Girardi getting the day off a couple weeks ago. They all went to a pool hall and had, like, a pool tournament. It's the new Yankees for the new year, Bill.
Really?
Swisher could be our Kevin Millar. Maybe he'll come up with some pithy quote, like, cowboy up, and it'll be all the rage, you know. Maybe he's the guy in the clubhouse, like, you know. And Damon's supposedly a funny guy. Maybe he and Swisher will be like, you know, Abbott and Costello of the Yankees.
I just Googled Nick Swisher in clubhouse.
Mm.
And Mike Fofcaro writes about how Nick Swisher has ejected life into the Yankee clubhouse.
See, there you go.
The opening is, it was a good day to be Nick Swisher. It's become apparent just about every day is a good day to be Nick Swisher, who has quietly injected more life, more looseness, more workaday energy than just about anyone we've seen in this clubhouse in a long while.
See?
It was by Swisher's locker half an hour before taking the field when heavy metal began to blare out of an iPod dock.
See? There you go.
Hmm.
Little metal, little Nick Swisher, it's all good.
I thought that Giambino was a good clubhouse guy.
Yeah, he supposedly was. Like, they all loved him, but, you know. When the Giambino left, a part of me died. But now you're the one. That's what they said to Nick Swisher, quoting Rocky III.
Well, we were together when the Nick Swisher sign started crawling across the ticker. And
we were.
You actually had a tantrum.
I did. You had to literally talk me in from the balcony because we were in a hotel room that had a balcony in New York City. and I threatened to jump because I thought that got them out of the Teixeira sweepstakes.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really excited for the Nick Swisher era as the signature first baseman, but I like him in his role as clubhouse cut up and all around good guy sitting on the bench and you know, leading the cheers and putting on rally caps or whatever. I like him in that role.
And so he'll probably get, when Johnny Damon gets hurt for 3 months, he'll just step into the left field for Johnny.
Step into left field. Yeah, I did love Nick Swisher so much as batting like fourth or fifth in our lineup, whatever his role I was when I saw it happen in New York. So I much more like this one. So,
well, here's how the depth chart looks. Posada.
Yeah.
How you feeling about him?
I was a little concerned when he had to take the day off the other day and said he had stiffness in his shoulder, but everyone's reassured me that he's doing okay.
It's a promising start. Teixeira at first base?
Oh, I'm in love.
In love, okay. Robbie Cano, bounce back year?
Let's hope so. I'm hoping for a big bounce back year. Supposedly he, like, worked really hard in the Dominican all off season, and the Yankees hitting coach went down there and worked with him, and, you know, I don't know. They had a little problems with Robbie's head, I think, like, you know, a little too much in the nightlife or living it up or believing his own hype, so hopefully he's back down to earth now.
A-Rod at third base. The right hip isn't doing that well, but supposedly the left hip's in great shape. Left hip has never been better.
once we get the cyst removed and the prying media just leaves him alone and lets him play, all is going to be good.
Okay.
Pencil him in right now for 335 plus and 120 plus. Mark it down in stone.
The captain? Derek Jeter?
I love him.
Who's he dating these days? Who's he dating these days?
I read something in the New York Post, I think it was, the other day about some, like, 22 or 25-year-old that he was dating, but I don't know that she was famous.
Not Minka Kelly?
No, I think it was someone else. It was someone who I never heard of who may or may not be famous. Apparently, she's not, if I had never heard of her, she's not famous, but I don't think she was. I think she was just some woman.
Lord knows I hate giving Jeter any Yankee any credit, but you really have to admire the way he's handled his romantic life.
Yeah, he keeps it well on the down low, that's for sure.
Hey, you didn't need to go there, Johnny.
Well, you know,
I didn't know it was in the down low.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I don't mean that in the other sense. I mean, he keeps it quiet. You know, he's not out there on TMZ or doing anything embarrassing, really. You know, keeps it quiet.
I think him and George Clooney have handled their romantic life the best out of any rich celebrity of our generation.
Right. Right. And he,
just,
you know,
hands off. Listen, I'm not marrying you. We'll have some fun for a few months. I'll pay for everything. You get to show up in Us Weekly and gossip sites with me. And then you're going to get sent packing.
That's exactly right.
As long as we're clear.
There may be, in fact, a written contract that states that at the beginning of things that the woman has to sign, in fact. But yeah, both of them. Good call by both of them, actually.
Maybe like a 4-month option with Jeter has the option to extend it another 4 months.
A player option for a couple more months. Yeah, could well be.
Well, Johnny Damon and left.
Yeah, a little nervous about Johnny Damon. I'm just going to say I'm a little nervous about the whole outfield, frankly. But Johnny Damon is not getting any younger. I like Johnny Damon. I really do. And he comes through in some big situations, but it makes me nervous and not a great outfielder.
Oh, that's an understatement.
Yes. That makes me nervous with his health.
35 years old, had a nice year last year, batted 375 on base, 461 slugging.
Probably a step or two slower, not getting any younger, as I said. You know, a little nervous.
The drummer from Def Leppard had a better arm. For 20 years, I've been using that joke. I'll go back to it. Center field, a little interesting.
You know, I made that. My friend Renee, his son had his third birthday party a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so we went to the 3-year-old's birthday party and they have he has two older kids and they have that game Rock Band for Wii, which was pretty cool. And obviously everyone knows that you can play the drums and you can play the guitar and then someone sings. So we broke it out and the kids were playing it and we were watching them play it and we were playing with it. And so I said, if there's a Def Leppard song, do you have to play with only one arm on the drums?
They bring the house down?
It was a big hit. Yeah, people got a kick out of it.
The 3-year-olds didn't laugh, though.
Poor Rick Allen, I think that's his name. I'm like, the jokes never get old, Rick. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your tragedy, but it's the gift that keeps on giving to everyone else.
I can't remember how many times in college I used to put the one arm in my T-shirt and drum with the other arm when Def Leppard came on. Never failed to get a laugh.
Never. It's good times. Sorry.
I'd like to apologize to all the one-armed people out there. I'm sorry if I've hurt anyone.
I love The Fugitive, though, in my defense. You know, The Fugitive, the guy who did it with one arm. Yeah.
That went a long way toward establishing one-armed people as being just as capable of doing evil as two-armed people.
That's right. One-armed people had a huge setback with The Fugitive, but they bounced back strong with the 20-year career of the Def Leppard drummer.
Yeah, I wonder who'd be on the Mount Rushmore of one-armed guys. Can we still talk about Mount Rushmore after ESPN just ruined it? I guess we can. Who was the guy who – Pete Gray, the baseball player?
Yeah, the baseball player. And they made a movie about it. I remember, a TV movie in the – was it the 70s or the 80s?
No, it was with Keith Carradine.
That's
it was
right.
The 80s.
It was the 80s. I remember watching that.
It was before the days of CGI where you could kind of see Keith's arm behind his back.
Right.
And some of the scenes, there's like a mysterious hump in his lower back. That guy, Pete Gray, hit, though.
Yeah, he was a good player, I think. He played in World War II, I believe, that era, right?
Yeah.
The 40s.
While I look up his stats, why don't you tell me about the center field situation for the Yankees?
Well, it's between Melky Cabrera and Brett Gardner. And they like Brett Gardner's defense, but they don't know if he can hit enough, although Girardi supposedly loves him. And he started off the spring ridiculously hot. He was hitting like 800 after like three games or something. He was crazy hot. Melky took a huge step backwards last year and had to be sent back down to the minors because he couldn't hit to save his life and looked completely lost out there. So I think it's a battle between those two.
It should be riveting.
In the sense it's a battle at all, but, you know. It's
I moved to the edge of my seat as you were talking. Right field, Xavier Nady. You like the X-Man.
I do like the X-Man.
You're
excited
for him.
I do. I mean, the one thing is, like, the one thing that I'm telling myself, and this is, you know, further talking myself into it, obviously, but, you know, people lamented that the problem the Yankees have had over the past 8 years is that they have too many superstars, and they went out and gorged on free agents and what have you, and that they haven't had any role player guys like a Scott Brosius or like a Paul O'Neill. I'm hoping Xavier Nady and or Brett Gardner kind of fill that role of the, you know, the good guy, like a good complimentary piece, but, you know, they didn't go out and spend for a super high-priced free agent, but those guys will do enough to get the job done and come through in big situations.
I actually kind of liked Brett Gardner last year, and I remember him being kind of shifty in the base pass.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some speed, and he's like, you know, he's wily. He's a good defensive guy. He can cover a lot of ground, but the problem is hitting. You know, he's good on base, but he has to get on base. So.
Well, I just looked at his stats. So 42 games, 127 at-bats, 13 out of 14 for steals.
Yeah.
But you know it's a problem? His 582 OPS.
Yeah.
228 average, 283 OBP, 299 slugging. That's not going to do it, Johnny.
No, it's not. But that was limited ABs, and I don't think he was ever supposed to be called up from the minors. It just sort of worked out that way. So he's had the off season to prepare and a full spring training with the major league team. So
nice
we'll
defense.
DH,
the world's preeminent porn collector Hideki Matsui, and Nick Swisher. That's your lefty righty combo. Not terrible.
Not awful. It's all right. Nick Swisher was awful last year, but I mean, 2 years ago he put up some big numbers. So,
but
and
considering
he was a commodity
Richie
for a while.
Well, considering Richie Sexton was your righty DH for a while last year,
yeah.
Nick Swisher's a little better.
Yeah, that's indeed much better. I'm not a huge Matsui fan myself. I don't love Matsui, but he'll be all right, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a huge Matsui fan, so I'm a little nervous about that they have enough pop in their outfield. I'm not sure that's a World Series outfield, but you never know.
I'm so fascinated by Matsui's porn collection that I could read it just hours and hours about it. Do you think he's like Netflix, like the other guys borrow porn from him?
I would imagine so, probably, yeah. So he's married now, so, you know, he's probably calmer in that regard.
Like
he got married a couple of years ago.
Jabba Chamberlain goes up to him and says, "Hey, Hideki, do you have the little engine that could, part 5? No, I loan that out to Cody Ransom. I'll have it back tomorrow.
It's very possible.
You think with all the bloggers that they have now in clubhouses, they're just every day would be porn questions for Matsui.
Maybe I haven't read it yet, but maybe that's discussed in Tori's book.
I have Tori's book, and I read 50 pages, and I woke up 8 hours later.
Really?
I didn't know what happened. Yeah, it was dreadfully boring.
Was that good, huh?
It was a book I regret spending $16 on. For some reason, I get books mailed to me that I don't want, and then a book that I want, like the Joe Torre book, not mailed to me. But all right, here's starting pitching.
Mm.
CC, pass the flapjack, Sabathia.
Love him. I'm excited. Look, excited to see what he can do in the Bronx.
AJ, should you just put me on the DL now, or should we wait till May 1st, Burnett?
Yeah, I don't love that one at all. I don't love AJ for exactly the reason you said, because God knows he's an injury waiting to happen, and he's going to disappoint me repeatedly. The only team that he pitched great against was the Yankees. He looked great against the Yankees last year.
No, he pitched well against the Red Sox, too.
So
yeah, I'm sure he'll win 10 games.
Against the Red Sox, actually.
I'm sure he'll win 10 games, and 7 of them will be against the Red Sox.
That's all I need. That's good enough for me. That will lead me to buy his jersey if that happens, actually.
Chin-Ming Wong, or I should say Chin-Ming, I'll stay healthy as long as I don't have to jog from point A to point B, Wong.
Yeah, hopefully he won't be involved in the interleague games. Or he won't
keep him out. Keep him out of the interleague, Johnny. Andy Pettit, your
sure.
Fourth starter.
Absolutely.
Coming off not a terrible year.
Well, I don't know. He had a really good first half, and he had a terrible second half. And he never has pitched well against the Red Sox. That's my biggest knock on Andy Pettit.
Yeah, but he gave you 204 innings.
I have a hole in my wall, actually, from last season where he blew like a 5-0 lead against the Red Sox, and I chucked the remote against the wall in anger and yelled some obscenities about Andy.
Mm.
Yeah, so Andy, I don't
know.
Not
feeling good about Andy.
I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Andy because, I mean, he was great years ago, and I can't fault him for much of what he's done, but he never seems to come through in big situations. Very small in big situations, actually.
Speaking of remotes, I had an emotional moment last night with my son.
Really?
We're eating dinner, and he had finished, and he was just walking around being, you know, drunk little guy, walks around and grabbed the remote, went over, pointed at the TV and started pressing buttons, changed the channel, and then turned around and smiled at us. And I was like, that's it, baby. He's home.
Nice.
It's the start of a glorious era of him in the remote control. I was happy to pass it down to him.
What did he put on?
Oh, he just pressed like channel 6. Yeah,
it was really
like
funny if he like changed it to, you know, put on something crazy. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but
if he put on like NBA TV or The Karate Kid or Teen Wolf or something, I would have been beside myself.
He flipped it to Shawshank or something. Oh my god!
Oh my god! It's a prodigy.
Like Mozart. Mozart of the remote control.
Maybe when I retell that story, I'll lie and say he put it to the last 15 minutes of Shawshank, right as Andy was crawling out of the sewage pipe.
He put it on ESPN Classic, and they were doing the Sports Century about Larry Bird. And you were like, oh, my God, my son.
Oh, my God. He's the sports Jesus.
That's right.
Your number 5 starter, Mr. Jabba Chamberlain.
Amen, baby. Absolutely. Look at that 4-5, Pettit and Jabba. That's great.
Not a bad pitching staff. Yeah, not bad.
It's a really good rotation. I'm excited about that. For the first time in years, we're not running, you know, Sidney Ponson out there or Ian Kennedy or Phil Hughes, you know.
If this season was being played on paper, you'd be right in that thing.
Absolutely. Now, there's question marks, but there's question marks for everybody.
Well, where's Phil Hughes in this?
Phil Hughes is he's starting the season in Scranton Wilkes-Barre. That's where Phil Hughes is.
Oh, my Lord.
The good thing is I read online when he had his blog last year, he's a big fan of The Office, and now he'll be able to play in the city where it's based, so that's good for Phil Hughes. And he, you know, if somebody gets hurt, God forbid, or when A.J. Burnett goes on the DL, Phil Hughes will be in the mix.
Okay.
So it's not bad. It's good to have 6 guys. I mean, maybe he'll surprise us.
I'm going to say that's a step down from the guy who they wouldn't give up for Johan Santana.
I know. It's hideous. Yeah. It's awful. I mean, the guy last year, I mean, it was the worst thing in the world. He did whatever he did to his ankle or his hamstring, and then he had whatever other injury he had where he, like, broke a bone pitching. And then when he was on the DL, they determined that he, like, needed glasses. It's just the worst thing ever. There was a Simpsons episode where they had got an HMO, and Bart was like, you know, this cool kid or whatever, skateboarding, and then he went to the HMO and he came out and he needed like corrective shoes and glasses and this hair gel or something, the hair thing, because he had like lice or whatever in his hair. And so that's what Phil Hughes was like he was this stud, and then, you know, he comes out and he has like these glasses and he's like on the math team and he's like, he can't pick up a ball without breaking a bone in his ribs. It's troubling.
So maybe you'd want to do over on the Santana.
Oh, I've only been screaming about that for 2 years. At the time,
yeah,
was I not screaming that should have done it?
Yes, screaming actually. You were
literally
screaming. Yeah.
But I was, you know, what made me not happy. I don't want to see the guy hurt, but I was like, this year when I see that there's problems with Santana and he's had all the, you know, they had a flying back and his arm looked at and he's got stiffness. I was like, God, if he was on the Yankees and he was doing that, like they'd have to keep sharp objects away from me, you know.
A bullet dodged.
The fact that he was on the Mets, I'm like, phew, you know?
Yeah. All right, here's your bullpen. Mariano Rivera back for, let's see how many years this has been. Oh, age 39.
Yeah.
That's not a good one.
No.
851 career games.
He was great last year, though. I mean, he's not losing anything.
I'm with you. 851 games, 1,023 career innings.
Yeah.
934 strikeouts.
There you go. Hall of Famer, first ballot.
Has never pitched less than 45 games since 1995.
All true.
Has never gone under 45 innings in his entire career.
All true.
Has pitched 70, 78, 78, 75, 71, and 70 innings the last 6 years.
Consistent. He's the man. He's the closer. He's the Sandman.
At some point, it's got to end.
One would think, but let's hope not now.
Then your setup guys, Damaso Marte.
A little disappointing last year, not what I expected.
Bad last year.
A little disappointing, but hopefully a bounce back. And a lefty, so that's always good.
Edouard, I'm fantastic if I'm going against the Texas Rangers, but just don't put me in a big series, Ramirez.
Yeah, this makes me a little nervous. Plus, he looks like he's about 12. That's never a good sign.
Brian Bruni?
Yeah, solid. I think he was hurt last year.
Solid? I think he was hurt last year?
He was hurt last year, but he has the he has some flashes.
34 innings, 183 ERA, 33 strikeouts, 16 walks, 0.99 whip. Not bad. Jonathan Abaladeo.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
I can only pronounce it if I'm reading it. I don't have it in front of me right
okay.
now. But he's like a highly touted guy along with Phil Hughes. They brought him up last year and I think he had a couple spot starts and then he was halfway decent and then they moved him to the bullpen and he was okay. I mean, he was a rookie last year. He didn't pitch in many games, but he was all right.
He pitched in 7.
Yeah. That's not a lot.
And
they have high hopes for him, though.
And I watch baseball every day, and I have no idea who that guy is.
He was good in the minors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say that's not a strong point of the 2009 Yanks, Johnny.
The bullpen? It's not terrible.
It's not good.
They got Mariano.
The closer's good.
It's all right. Yeah, they could use another setup guy. I mean, what would make them better, and they won't do it, is if they could make Hughes the fifth starter and move Jabba to be the setup guy.
And why won't they do that?
Because they think that they have a real commodity in Jabba, and they think they get more out of him as a starter than as a setup guy.
Yankees to win the AL pennant, 8-5.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
They're the favorites, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Red Sox are 5-2, and let's see, Tampa 7-1, the Los Angeles. Of Anaheim of
the
California Angels are 7-1. The Indians are shockingly 7-1, and the Royals are an astounding 50-1.
Are the Royals the worst?
I don't understand why the Royals are 50-1. That doesn't make sense.
Shouldn't they be like 200-1?
Yeah, I like them. I already put money in them to win the AL Central.
They have Coco Crisp now, right?
They have a bunch of guys. You look out for the Royals, Johnny.
All right, I won't go to sleep on the Royals.
Hold on, let me give you your, I thought I had this. Oh, here we go. Your over-under for regular season wins.
Mm.
95.5, you have to bet 130 to win 100 on the over. If you bet the under, it's even.
Interesting.
What do you do?
See, the Vegas is good because 95 is like right on the number. I would say that they're going to win. So that's really like a coin flip. I'll go the over. I think they're going to win 97.
Okay.
I'd bet the over to win my 130.
All right. That was Jacko's spring training preview for the Yanks. Next week we'll do the Red Sox.
Oh, fantastic. I'm excited for that one.
I'll go through the depth chart.
Talk about question marks. I'm excited.
Next week we'll do the Red Sox.
Fantastic.
All right. Good talking to you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's call House at work. He actually does know we're calling and has worked himself into a rabies-like froth about the Redskins. Let's call him right now.
Joe House.
What's happening?
What is happening?
You're on the podcast very quick.
Okay.
First, Joe Mead wants to play you something.
12-inch double meat is my thing.
What? Hold on, Joe Mead, play that again.
What was that? 12-inch double meat is my thing. That's not funny.
It's a quote from you. 12-inch double meat is my thing.
That's out
Joe
of context.
House.
I'm outraged. You know, we should do some housekeeping on that front really quick.
On Subway?
I owe Popeyes an apology. Now, they have several thousands of my dollars over the years, so
yeah.
I don't really feel that bad, but leaving them off that list was a little egregious.
Well, maybe we'll make it a Mount Rushmore, but one of the heads will be like the conjoined twins in the TLC channel.
I do not want to talk about that.
So it could be... I'll give you 5 heads. So give me the 5 now.
That's
Subway?
5 heads? Yeah, sure. So it's Subway, Arby's, Chick-fil-A, Panda Express, and Popeyes.
Okay. I'm glad you cleared that up with Popeye because I remember you emailed me after and you're very upset.
And not only was I upset, I think they were upset.
Yeah, you have given them a lot of dollars. All right. Well, we're calling you really quick because your Washington sports scene. Are the Capitals doing okay?
Yeah, they're doing better than okay.
Okay, so you had the Caps, and the league that's going to fold next year.
And the town's going nuts. Now, the Caps have looked terrible the last two games, but this whole town's going nuts for the Caps because it's the only thing that's any, you know, you can invest in.
What happened? Crosby took a shot at your best guy or something?
There was a little bit of a scuffle at the end of a second period in the game they played like a week and a half ago, but it didn't amount to anything. I immediately went and texted my one friend that I know of that's a hockey fan and said, hey, can we have a fight between the two best guys in the league? But, you know, of course not.
You know, it's funny. Hockey has reached that point where all of us now only have one or two friends that follow it. I have two friends that always CC me on Bruins emails, and it's like they're talking about, I don't know, some sort of world that I don't really know anymore.
I went to a game last week. It was fun.
Yeah,
I'm back
into
it. I just couldn't name, you know, 10 players in the league, nor could I name, like, you know, more than one coach.
Yeah, I think what's happened with the economy is actually a good thing for hockey because it's a sport where the tickets never should have been more than $25.
That's right.
And the players never should have made more than $400,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I don't know what they were thinking. So anyway, the Washington sports scene. So the Wizards, they basically murder the rest of the decade and probably the first 2 years of the subsequent decade with the Arenas contract.
That's right.
Just killed you.
Yeah.
Explain what happened in the Nationals for our audience, just because you told me about it on the phone, and I just think, like, everyone was so excited, the Nationals were building a new stadium, and within a year, you said somebody could give you season tickets, and you would turn them down.
Yeah, I was a season ticket holder, both at the stadium, RFK Stadium, which was it's the old Redskins football stadium. So
right.
When the team came here in 2005, I immediately signed up with some friends to a season ticket package and then was equally excited about getting into a package for this new stadium. And, you know, this is kind of the common theme down here. The most cynical kind of behavior out of the, ownership, they spend about $10 for the team that they threw out on the field. So instead of, you know, that first season buzz with a team that looks like it can compete on a night in and night out basis, everybody basically knew within the first 20 games that the Nats were a terrible baseball team, and that was it. So they ruined all the goodwill that they would have had for a first season in a brand new stadium and generating a whole bunch of excitement down here. They ruined it by putting out a product that was horrendous.
And you think there was a little bit of an Angelos hangover, too, where people were like, well, I'm not going through this again because we just went through this with Angelos in Baltimore.
Well, that certainly explains my point of view. I mean, I haven't paid to see the Baltimore Orioles since 1997. That's a fact. I've been up there a couple times.
And you were a diehard Orioles fan and a diehard Ripken fan.
I went to
Brooks
Robinson Day in 1977. Yeah. I mean, I grew up on the Baltimore Orioles. That's
Earl Weaver.
Right. Earl Weaver. That's
Watched it with your dad.
Yes, that's right. We are, I mean, yes.
We were a little similar because I turned against the Bruins for the same reason that the owner just once. Your owner is a little different because he actually spent a little bit of money. It was just on ridiculous players and he had no game plan. The Bruins guy just didn't care.
That was Angelos up until about 1997-98. Then he just, you know, folded the tent. I don't think they spent money on a player in 10 years.
I think they gave Aubrey Huff like $3 million.
Oh, congratulations.
so you did not have a baseball team for a solid 10 years, and then the Nats came into your life, and you were ready to jump on that.
I did jump on it. It was exciting. They actually competed. They were in sort of contention for most of the first half of the first season they were here, 2005.
Right.
They actually did a decent job of cobbling together. Now, you remember that Montreal team was run by Major League Baseball for 2 years. You know, great league that it is.
Hey, we're going to see that with the NBA and the Memphis Grizzlies in about a year.
It always works out great.
Yeah, it should be good.
But they did put some decent vets together. And so the team, you know, was exciting for a little while.
So why would they offer Teixeira $180 million and then not even offer Manny anything? Isn't the goal to get your fans excited, or am I crazy?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Manny signed, by the way. He signed with the Dodgers, 2 years, 45.
But that was maybe the thing with Manny, and not like I'm in the business of defending the Nats, but maybe everybody knew that Manny was going to sign with the Dodgers, and why bother?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say they signed Manny 3 years, $90 million.
Uh-huh.
Are you and your friends excited?
Oh, definitely. Look, I'm excited for Adam Dunn. The Nats finally have a guy who can hit more than 12 home runs in a year.
You know what else you're excited about? Joe Mead, play it.
12-inch double meat is my thing. I mean,
no, it never gets old. It's
really,
so good.
I'm appalled.
It's so good. So, all right. So the Nats. So that's a disaster. Now, let's get to the real story. The Redskins.
So
hold on. I'm gonna couch this the following way. The comments you're about to hear from Joe House about Daniel Snyder and the Redskins, which we might have to bleep a little bit, do not reflect the comments of myself, ESPN.com, ESPN in general, the worldwide leader, Disney, or anyone else. They are the comments of Joe House and Joe House alone.
Please be advised.
You have the floor.
Well, let me start with trying to see it from Snyder's point of view. If you're of the opinion that last year's team, an 8-8 team, was just a few pieces away from making a serious playoff and or Super Bowl run, then what he just did in free agency might be defensible. You could say, okay, they really lacked a pass rush. They were among the worst teams in the league in terms of getting to the quarterback, notwithstanding the Jason Taylor thing, I guess. But Haynesworth is a once every handful of years kind of talent, so you got to pay a premium to get that kind of guy in here.
Okay.
D'Angelo Hall, I guess the theory would be that when he cares, he's among the top sort of third of cornerbacks in the league.
Allegedly.
Right. Why you would be willing to make a, you know, $30 million bet on that for a guy who clearly didn't care, cared so little that two teams gave up on him in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
But it's not my money. And I guess the other thing is, by spending the money like this, you're telling your fans, look, I care. I care about winning. I want to have a winner here in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing that stinks.
Very, very fair defense.
Right?
Now let's hear the counterargument.
Every year, this franchise makes a bet that the Washington Redskins fans have short memories. And every year, they're the champs of the offseason. I just stole that from Michael Wilbon.
Okay.
They're the champs of the offseason. And now that we are 11 years in to the Dan Snyder era, it's starting to look a little too calculated and more than a touch cynical for my taste. It's the second most valuable franchise in the NFL because Dallas just exceeded them with that crazy stadium they built.
Right.
$300 million in revenue every year, net about $60 million. Single season attendance record 8 years in a row because, you know, Dan Snyder got here and immediately put 12,000 new seats in to a stadium that was built for him by Jack Kent Cook with almost all Jack Kent Cook's own money,
right.
Only a little bit of public money.
Yeah.
This is a team that where the overall in-stadium cost experience is in the, 6-7 kind of place in the whole league. And he's been here 11 years, and they made the playoffs three times. And they've made it past the first round of the playoffs twice. We've had five head coaches in that time. So every year we have this free agent signing extravaganza with the promise of a new coach, new system. You know, he outspent everybody on assistant coaches 3 years ago. We were supposed to be so excited about that for a team that ended up going 7-9. I have had it. I don't, you know, I guess I'll hold my nose and watch with one eye for this upcoming season. But, you know, it's just it just gets to be a bit much. The success, the financial success of this team comes right out of every sports fan in this area, right out of our pockets, because everybody is diehard Redskins down here in Washington. There's nothing even comes close. Everybody's Redskins through and through. And he came in here and took over this team, purporting to be one of us. I'm just like one of you guys. Now pay me triple what it costs to park. Pay me triple. I'm going to charge you now to come watch practices. I'm going to charge you triple what it used to cost to buy a beer. And by the way, here's some personal seat licenses to go along with it. I'm outraged. And
he bumped the tickets like three times as much, right?
Oh, yeah. He has been a consistent leader in increases in ticket price year in and year out.
And what made you mad is, like, for instance, there was that game, I think it was a Sunday night or a Monday night game. Was it the Steelers when, like, half the crowd was the Steelers?
Sure, right, the Terrible Towels. It was big news down here that half the crowd was Pittsburgh fans because the season ticket holders, routinely put their tickets up for sale on StubHub, and so it's very easy for outside fans to come down here and get tickets to games.
Right.
But
and when I made fun of you, though,
yeah,
and I was like, oh, my God, Washington fans, that's such an embarrassment. And you went on a 10-minute expletive-laden rant on the fact that it was actually Dan Snyder's fault, and he's killed Redskins fans, and it's too expensive, and he's made it no fun to go to the games, and people are like, screw this. And
yeah,
so.
I mean, look, this is a team that, notwithstanding the fact that they're right there one or two in terms of overall, valuable franchise and the amount of money they make every year. They just laid off 24 employees.
Oof.
So you tell me why the Washington Redskins, under what scenario the Washington Redskins have to lay off 30 people, 30 administrative folks?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, are they not making money?
Well, we know they're making money.
Of course we know they're making money. Crass opportunism, what explanation is there for it?
So you're saying he has like a little bit of the Steinbrenner mid-80s syndrome where he makes his big off-season splash. He secretly bilks the fans out of their cash. He raises expectations artificially.
That's right.
And then every year it's a cycle where you just get kicked in the groin.
He's the worst expectation manager perhaps in all of professional sports with the exception of Steinbrenner. Mike Wise, just to cite another Post columnist, wrote that Snyder's won the Steinbrenner Cup like five of the past 10 years.
I like that, the Steinbrenner Cup.
That's exactly right.
That's funny.
It's really just a race between he and Steinbrenner every year for who does the more sort of outlandish signings with so little to show for in terms of results.
So your plea to the Redskins fans is to basically not allow this to happen anymore.
Well,
stop getting excited for these dumb big splash things that actually have no real game plan.
And this is the problem. It tears the heart out of me. I'm a Redskins fan. I want to root for the guys on the field. I root for the burgundy and the golden. I don't have any kind of recommendation for Redskins fans. I know how they feel. I'm going to root for them. I'm going to, come September, I'm going to be as excited as I am for every year. And you don't say, oh, don't give this SOB the money, because you want to go see the games. You love the games. You love the NFL.
Mm.
So it's cynical and crass and opportunistic, and I vehemently dislike it, but I don't have any good answers. I mean, the thing that's really galling, the thing that really tears the butt out of me, is the fact that less than 40 miles from this town, the Baltimore Ravens, that's a franchise that knows has a plan, has a vision, builds through the draft every year, has a GM who knows what he's doing, has had two coaches in 10 years, has been to the conference championships, three times in the last 10 or 11 years. And it's just tough to look, 35 miles away and have that so close to home, and be confronted, with what we got to live with down here.
When was the last Washington title?
1991.
Redskins. When was the last finals appearance? Capitals?
Yeah, the Caps were in the Stanley Cup in 98.
Because I remember
I went to that.
I hung out with you, and it's somewhere in my archives. In 2002, I did a week in D.C., and I had a whole column about how secretly depressing the Washington sports scene was. And this was almost 7 years ago.
Yeah, so well, guess what? It's repeating itself, with the exception of the Caps.
So, in closing, you'd like to thank...
Who are a good bet for another Southeast Conference title.
Yeah, put that banner up, baby.
Yeah, raise the banner.
So, in closing, you'd like to thank Daniel Snyder for yet another turd sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, in closing, that's exactly right. I'm going to look with one eye, I'm going to hold my nose, and I'm going to be excited, as always, come September. But I'll have a gentle middle finger stuck out for old Danny, just like I always do.
Joe House, always a pleasure. Joe Mead. Can we have a farewell for Joe?
12-inch double meat is my thing.
Yeah.
I dislike you.
Again, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Well, I get to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.